Would you like to open, John?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for today. Father, thank you for letting us be here today, gather together your word. Father, bless this food. Bless this time, Father, and anoint the word that's coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, today hopefully will be the final part of part three of teaching on maturity. I just want to kind of recap some of the things that we discussed already. First of all, I actually have... I've got these 13 points that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to. I think I ended off at self-control the last time, and we will continue just reviewing some of this. Though, first one is patience. All right.
I have all that.
Keep going.
Do I need to spend more time on this?
Keep going.
How much time? How much patience do you have?
John, you're not allowed to teach today.
How many of us had patience getting up this morning and coming into church? You know, but patience is staving off anxiety, ability to wait without complaint. Now, if you're like some people, you know, if you think it has to happen now, right? So it's kind of a difficult process for some of us to really kind of tone down things and to really have an ability to wait without complaining about it. And some of us need to be kicked in the butt to get things going. So that's why my wife and I have been put together. She's the one that's always, we call her Nancy Sergeant Carter, Nancy Sauter. That was her old name. Because, as a matter of fact, the kids say that all the time, because she would always bark out orders. And you walk in the house, and the next thing you know, the whole house is in a different position, so you trip over things. But anyway, so patience is important. And but you know what? Before I just want to recap a little bit about what maturity is, and that we are all a work in progress. I can say that, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. As a matter of fact, some of us have maybe received Christ later in life, and we've needed to mature our whole life. So it's really just a process of being in a place where we're willing to make a change in our life, because now we really understand what it means to be a mature Christian if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So from a worldly perspective, we define maturity by our own interpretation, right? We've defined it by the way we've been brought up and how we've grown and how we've been trained by our parents or lack of parents. Parenting, but we define maturity based on age sometimes, because I'm Bob is 90 now, so
I'm still maturing though, like a fine wine.
That's right. His year is not aged yet. It's not come. But you know, so we define maturity by age, and really maturity has nothing to do with age. You'll find people that are our age that really don't have any kind of understanding of what it means to be a mature individual. But if we define maturity by our own interpretation or by the world's interpretation, then we're missing the mark. But from a Christian perspective, we should define them by God's interpretation. And where does that come from?
His word.
His word. And you know, the world, this country was founded by God's interpretation. And that's why it ran so smoothly for so many years. I mean, at least it, I should say, from a spiritual perspective. But now all of that is waning. It is going away from us. It's being yanked away from us by people who don't want to follow God's spiritual laws. So patience I'm talking about here comes from hope. You know what? If you're going to be patient about something, you have to trust in something to give you that patience to wait. And so if we have hope for something, if we are trying to see a family member change or something happen, we have to have hope in God. If we know that God can do whatever he pleases and that he will answer our prayers, then we have to be willing and patient to wait and have that happen. So hope is a very important part of that. And what happens when we don't have hope? If we don't have hope, don't we become cynical? If we don't have hope, don't we lack trust? So we need to have that trust. We need to have hope in order for us to carry on in life. Otherwise, we won't trust anybody because they're going to hurt us. We won't trust people because of things that they've done or what's happened in the past. How many people have been stuck in the past? Stuck from moving beyond the things that God can really release and heal you from because we are stuck in something that's happened to us. How many people have you... I've heard people in the past that said, I'll never get married because I've been hurt so many times by somebody, right? But you know, it doesn't mean that patience doesn't mean that we can't vocalize our complaints, right? We can still vocalize our complaints. It's just a manner of how we do it. That manner changes because we know that we have hope for greater things. So the next one I have is the, and by the way, I've got scriptures, and if anybody wants these 13 points that I'm going to be bringing up, I've got a sheet that we can make copies of and get to you. Okay.
Me too.
You need them.
Need them. Well, I got a sheet in here that we can have make copies.
We'll get them made and we'll have them on the table down in front for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next one is integrity and honesty. And I don't want to get into these in too depth because I got to get through to the end. But I just wanted to talk about that truth is integrity and honesty is a commitment to truth, soundness of moral character, ethics, and values. And we talked about the fact that values describe the standards of what is valuable or important to us. Ethics describes an accepted set of moral principles, and morals defines the right or wrong of our actions. Okay? If integrity is driven by our values and our values change, what happens to our moral principles? They all change. So that and basically, if you look at the country is trying to change our moral values, right? So they're trying to give themselves excuses and rights and privileges. And you know what? Wait, I said this before. We all have a right to sin. One sin is not greater than the other. It's just that the only thing that bothers me today is that everything is being pushed right in your face with no regard to how it's going to affect them. Our concern is not so much that the country is moving in that direction. Our concern should be that how can we make a difference and make them accept what we now believe? That's something that we need to be challenged in our own self. Well, how can we be better evangelists, per se, or better people to talk about God in certain situations so we can help one time, one individual at a time? It takes one individual to make it go the other way. One individual continuing to grow each other helps us to change it back to the way God wants it to be. Okay. Selfless giving is a willingness to sacrifice self, time, emotions, and money. And we all know that, you know, a lot of time is probably something that most of us don't want to sacrifice. But, you know, we think about tithing money, giving part of what we have to support the belief system that we have. And that's what you're doing. When you tithe and you give to this church or you give to charities or whatever, you're giving to something that you firmly believe in. And when you don't give, then that talks a little bit about your commitment to the things of God. I mean, that money, if you talk about money, people really think that all they want is my money. You know, but really, all God wants to do is you to release all the things that he's given you so that he can use them even to bless you more. And we shouldn't give to get blessing. But that's something that I believe God usually performs. I mean, if you look at what Paul did during his walk, during his time, how many blessings did he get when he was doing God's work? I mean, we need to be willing to those sacrifices. Amen? You know? We need to be praying in jailhouses and having the chains fall off of us and the doors open.
That's one promise, John, that Christ said, try me on this, right? Trust me. There's no other condition. You simply give, you will be blessed. If you're not giving, you're not being blessed. It's a simple issue. He said, try me on this. That's all we have to do.
You know, and blessings don't always have to come via the flesh.
That's right.
You know, blessings can come from a clear understanding of God's purpose in your life. You know, there's nothing that you will do in your life that will satisfy you more than when you are serving God. You know, when you have done God's work and you've seen a life change, or you've seen, or you've got that connection with God, there's nothing that's going to change your life more than that. And you have to be patient and willing to let God work in your life and stop complaining about the things He's not doing and start asking for the things, because when you start to ask for the things that He wants done, you're going to find yourself overwhelmed with excitement, desire, purpose. All of those things change. Amen. The next one we had was humility. Anybody here think they're humble enough? Bob, he
I'm
thinks
proud
he's
of my humility. Yes.
Yes. And that's a modest opinion of one's importance, taking a lowly position. And we talked about this a little bit, where, you know, being humble is not necessarily being a letting somebody walk over you.
Yes.
But, and it's not a sign of weakness, by the way, because humility really becomes a strength, because it starts from your confidence in the Savior that you have accepted in your life. And you humble yourself so that somebody else's life can change. And the last time I talked about that cross and the switchblade story, where the priest was sent into New York to save a man that he had been sent, and the guy beat him up and almost killed him, but he didn't stop. And one of the things that the guy said was that, hey, here's the reason I accepted Christ, was because no matter what I did to you, you wouldn't stop coming at me. How many of us could do that? Most of the time when somebody hits us and smacks us down, we want to get revenge, right? And that's the flesh. That's everything that the flesh wants. The flesh wants revenge. That's why how many people like all of those movies where the good guys always win, right? They get their revenge against all those creeps that are out there. Well, we want that too, but the actual revenge that we have is against Satan, when we can bring somebody to the Lord and we can help them and we can humble ourselves before them so that they will accept Christ and become a new being. Being appreciative and grateful. And of course, I think I just asked this question as a Christian. What should we be thankful for?
Everything.
Everything. But what's the thing that makes us thankful for everything?
Salvation.
Salvation. Once you have accepted it, you will know the reason for being grateful for everything that you have. Because now the most important thing you have is lays before you, and the hope that we have that lays before us. That so now we know that now we have a greater gift that we could receive than anything that we receive on earth. And that's the battle between the spirit and the flesh, right? Because the flesh always wants what it can get. It wants to be pampered. It wants food. It wants this. It wants that. And we want to make sure that it gets what it wants, as opposed to serving God and giving what God wants for them through you. Us being more like Christ, the one who sent himself to the cross for us. It's very difficult. I understand that. I'm not saying that we are going to be Christ. It's a process that we're working on. But the more and more we're willing to lay down things against our flesh, then our flesh becomes less important to us, and the things of God become more important. But that's the most difficult thing to do, because we want God to bless us while we're trying to bless others. So we always need to be grateful for the things that God has given to us. It says here, and it says in Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I said, what should we be thankful for? Our salvation. And one thing I wanted to point out here is that you can't be thankful for something you have not accepted. Until you have accepted your salvation through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, you cannot be thankful for your eternal life that's been promised to you. Does that make sense? You need to accept what has been given to you. Self-control and accountable and responsible. We put those together. Self-control is not acting on impulses, emotions, desires. So I think if we all reviewed our life a little bit, I think we could all come to a place to, we know where we need to have more self-control. When your spouse says this to you, what's your reaction? When your children do this to you, what's your reaction? Now, I'm not saying we don't discipline. I'm just saying how we do those things makes a difference. So there's always something, there's always some point anger comes up in our life. Mature people, the more mature we are, the more confident we are in the things of God and then the Holy Spirit in us, the more, I don't care what your education is, by the way, it doesn't really matter. You know, because they talked about Paul and the apostles, and they were talking about how are these uneducated men speaking such wisdom. So Christ, and through the word of God, you can be as wise, the wisest man or woman on earth. You know, because you are giving them things that they do not yet understand. As you grow in the spirit, you are also maturing in the flesh. And we become people who are willing and able to deliver things that even astound us, because we have now the wisdom of God on our side. So the other thing is self-control is the need for recognition and or attention. You know, a lot of times we do things and we want to be seen by people. A lot of times some of us want to be seen as a spiritual knowledge, with a lot of spiritual knowledge. We want people to recognize us for our spirituality. And we don't really realize that the things that we are doing are subtly prideful, and they're really not. We're really losing the ability now to be humble because we're looking for that recognition. I mean, if you come from a poor background like I did, my whole life was trying to get recognition. I know that about me. That's something that I try to control at all costs. I don't just try to say it with my words. I try to make it part of my heart, because I know that I can stand up, I can stand and do things and get recognition for it, and that would satisfy my flesh. It's taken a long time in my spiritual walk to get to the point where I no longer need that recognition. I'm just looking for God's recognition for the things that I do. And hopefully I'm following the things that he's asked me to do, and I continue to walk that walk. Being accountable and responsible. Subject to the obligation to report our actions, answerable, that we are answerable to other people. Accountability. Why don't we want to be accountable?
We don't want anybody to tell us what to do.
And we don't want them to know, right? You know, there's probably, I bet you if we ask everybody to pour their heart out, I bet you there's something in their life that you would probably not talk about, that you would not reveal. And, you know, and so when we decide that we say we're going to be accountable, we need to be able to pick somebody that we can trust, that will give us guidance and direction more so than judging us for the things that we've done. But we need to find somebody in our life that we can be accountable to. Because if we're accountable to ourselves, we think that we're not, none of these things are being noticed, but God sees everything. So if you really want to be accountable, you know, the things that you do, you need to put up there before God and say, God, There's nothing that stops you from seeing anything that I do on this earth. Please guide me in this so that I do what's right. Accountability finds weaknesses and creates exposure. It is what a mature person wants because their integrity demands it. Also, they want to be the best in Christ that they can be. In Romans 14:12, it says, "So then, each of us will give account of ourselves to God." So how strongly is your belief in God? How strongly is your belief that He sees all, knows all, that it will change the way you walk? And it changes the way you look at your life and the things that you do. The next one, to be a teacher and encourager. You know, a mature person wants to help others become the best they can be. I mean, if you've had a mature parent, or if you want to be a mature parent, you know, the thing is that we are always trying to educate our children in the way they should go according to Scripture. And we want them to be the best they can be in the world as well. But you know what? Our children will never be the best they can be in the world if they do not know Christ. You know, they will satisfy certain aspects of their living, and the way they will satisfy what the world wants of them, and they'll play their part there, but they will never be the mature Christian if they do not know the way they should be, the way they were raised up to be through Christ, through the Bible. See, we're all called to be teachers, and there's hundreds of scriptures that talk about encouraging one another. But we all want to be happy, but wouldn't it be great if each of us could find peace in our trials that others could be inspired by? There's times when people have relayed stories to me, or there's just their actions and the things that they've gone through. The things in my life have helped people understand. I can have compassion for them because I understand what it's like to go through life in a situation that's not conducive to a child growing up. So, you know, when we go through things and we're teaching and we're encouraging others by our experiences, so you should never look at an experience in life that's negative as a bad thing. And the reason for that is that experience is going to be there for you to help others through that because you were brought through it. Amen? You are going to be able to share that experience with somebody so that you can encourage them to move on in their life. And to me, that's where everything, the hope of being a Christian, I get so much because I trust in the love of God that it carries me through trials and struggles and even my own failings, that I can become, that I know that the path that I walk through so that I can help others when they get to that place. And I recognize those things, that they're trials that they're going through in their life, the trials of their life. So I am able to help them. Men, people in general, the flesh does not want to help anybody else for the most part. I mean, we do it in this world. The world does it because they feel that they've got enough to give, but that they could share it. But the truth of the matter is that when it comes to spiritual wealth, there's not enough of it in this world. There's not enough of us sharing what God has done in our life to make a change in somebody else's. So we need to always be motivated and be encouraging and become teachers of the Word. And everybody who knows the Word of God now has the purpose of teaching that Word to somebody that they're near, family members, whoever it may be. We have been given that title automatically. And not that we're supposed to all be up here doing it, but we are to encourage and build and lift each other up. It says in Romans 5:3-4, it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." I could replace that character with maturity. So we all need to take part in understanding the Word of God enough so that we can move forward and move ourselves to the point of becoming and a teacher to somebody else. We need to know the Word. Compassionate and caring. Being sympathetic, desire to alleviate suffering, having pity on others, sets an example for others and the world. That's what we need to be. We, as a body of Christ, need to be out there helping whatever is needed, even in our communities. I think we, you know, if we had greater financing than we do right now, finances, I mean, we do that. Pastor Don does his thing with the girls in Western. We've done things in the community to just expose ourselves more and to get people to know who we are. We need to be able to share more of our wealth and our life to change things in our community so that people will look at us and say, well, you know, Downriver really helped us with that. Downriver really kind of helped us get through this situation, even in the city, you know, whatever it was. And I think that God wants us to bless the community that we're in.
Yes.
In more ways than one. Many of the communities. I mean, I know we do things across country, you know, in other countries and everything else. But, I mean, you know, they need to see that we are willing and able to be compassionate and caring and giving, not only in our spirituals, but also the financials and other things, or time. Whatever it is that this church is willing as a church, because we are all a church, right? Whatever we are willing to give is something that we need to be able to show the world that we can do it.
On Memorial Day, didn't you open up for the city on prayer?
I did, and I closed. I opened and closed.
There's 11 churches in Melvindale, I believe, isn't there, Pastor? Last count, give or take. Say that again?
I said that they couldn't get anybody to close either, so I had to end up doing that for them. They couldn't get any churches.
Afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Like Nolan Ryan, you went the whole game.
That's right. I was there the whole time. And it was only 90 degrees out there that day. That's right. So, how can you show compassion? I guess that was one of my questions. As an individual, when you're thinking about it, you know, how can we be more proactive? You know, and I think that there's somebody in this body that actually has a heart for the community. Or if we don't, then we need to get more people in the church and get somebody who is, so that we can actually have a program, a community program, you know, that's run by somebody that can be sustained long term. Because the biggest problem with somebody just taking it on is that sometimes they get burnt out by it because they don't really have the heart for it. They just do it out of obligation. But if you need to pray for the things that God wants you to do in your community, so that, you know, you can have that heart and you can say, hey, listen, I'm here. We're here as a church, and I'm going to lead this ministry. There's so many ministries that we don't have that we could have. Maybe we need to make a listing of all the ministries we'd like to be in the neighborhood and just throw it out there and say, hey, listen, anybody got a heart for these ministries? Let's get them going, you know. In Colossians 3:12-13, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. So that's just having that compassionate, caring heart. Self-awareness. The ability to educate and judge oneself. You know, if you're going to evaluate who you are in Christ, what does that require? It requires a value system, right? You're judging yourself against something. You're making a decision to move a look at your life and see exactly what it is that maybe need to be changed. How easy is that? Because we We want to justify everything that we do. We give every credence to say this is a good thing, even though it may be a bad thing. So, and the reason that happens is because we're self-protectionists, right? It's very difficult for us to judge our failings because usually when we get into that mode, we feel like failures, and some of us can't pull ourselves out of that. Only God and a relationship with God can get that failure attitude out of you. You need to fight. You need to fight for that place in your brain that sometimes Satan will take you and say, you're not worthy. You need to struggle through those things because you need to believe that the love of God is greater than anything that Satan could tell you you are or aren't, you know. And we need to fight for ourselves because if we can't fight for ourselves, we can't fight for anybody else. Amen. So when you think about standards, what standard do you think the world is judging itself? By what it wants, right? Whatever the flesh wants, that's where the world is right now. Everything is okay. Let it be okay because, you know, nobody is hurting anybody. Perversion is okay. It doesn't matter. It's all out there. If your value system is intertwined with the world's, what does that cause? Double-mindedness, right?
Compromise. Yes.
And what is the word? What does the world? The word say about double-mindedness? You know, it's very difficult to be tough and straightforward with yourself. We don't want that. You know, we want the grace of the Lord, we want the love of the Lord, but sometimes we don't want to share that with anybody. The only way you can share all of that is if when you have fully accepted it and you have fully accepted your responsibility. And that comes through maturity. And the last one I have here is wisdom.
Make it, John. You may make it.
Ability to discern, have insight, good sense, be wise.
Good sense.
What do you think wisdom would look like? And how do you think it expresses itself? You know, I think that men usually use wisdom and knowledge to gain advantage. You know, we all do that. We try to use the wisdom and knowledge. If you look at the way the world is twisting all of this stuff about, you know, that we don't... Matter of fact, I was listening to a program the other day about all of this stuff, the way the trend is going with certain situations in the country. They said that I think Jesus loves everybody, right? And basically what they were saying, that it doesn't matter what the Bible says about the sin that they're in, that Jesus loves everybody. And so, you know, the world says that that's their wisdom now. It's like it's based on, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, it's okay. But mature godly wisdom does not puff itself up. You know, we are not looking to gain wisdom for the sake of building our own empire. Because that's basically, you know, knowledge is actually wealth. The more knowledge that you have about anything in this world, you can use it to build wealth. And you look at everything that's going on in the world right now. I mean, all the things that are happening, everybody, if they can talk more intelligent than you, they're selling you a program. I don't care if it's dealing with vitamins or if it's dealing with making money in the market, you know it. They're selling you something because that's where the money is. And they can convince you that this is necessary, then, you know, then that's what we will flock to it. And so the world is using its wisdom and knowledge for its own benefit. As Christians, we need to use our wisdom and knowledge for the benefit of others. You know, so that we end up, we become valuable to others because of the things that we know about God and the things that we have in our repertoire that we can bring out to them that will make them wealthy, spiritually wealthy.
Yes.
There's a difference between being wealthy. You can have all the money in the world. How many people do you know? Matter of fact, Bordine, who just committed suicide, had everything that he ever wanted. But you know, he probably didn't. I can't judge this, but he committed suicide, so I have to say he didn't have Jesus. Maybe I'm being judgmental about that. I'm not trying to be. But I believe that somebody who has Jesus has hope.
Right.
And with hope, you know, there's nothing that's going to help make you take your life, because, and you have purpose. More than selling the world food, you know. There's another informational thing. He took and he sold us all of the food in the world, and we followed that, a lot of us. So he had everything that he had built in that little kingdom that he had built, but he didn't have Christ, so it didn't really, it stopped meaning anything to him because it really didn't have purpose.
Yep.
Amen?
What good is a blessing unless you can share it?
That's right.
It really isn't a blessing unless it's something that you can share.
Yeah. Amen. And also, wisdom gives us the ability to perform all of the previous traits more effectively. So that when we gain all the understanding and the wisdom that God has to give us, we are going to know more about this world and how he created it, and we're going to accept that the wisdom and the knowledge that man is creating in himself is only, you know, there was that thing that Kenny did on the line, and I saw this, as a matter of fact, even in a program, but, you know, this little dot on this line that goes for eternity is where we are. When we think about the knowledge that man has about our universe, it's even smaller than that compared to the knowledge and wisdom of God. So when we think we know what we know and we can speak intelligently about all of these things, we have not come to a place where we have come anywhere near the understanding that of a God that created this universe and put it in here so perfectly the way it's set up. So we need to really kind of buckle down and try to understand what areas in my life need work to become a more mature Christian. And be honest with ourselves and be willing to evaluate that, or sit down with somebody and evaluate these 13 areas. I mean, there may be others that I missed, but yes.
Hope deferred, the word says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. And that leads into all kind of issues. And it does hinder us from becoming a mature Christian, because that hope has to be based in trusting God, and that he knows the perfect timing to bless us with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that he does have our back.
Amen. You know, the biggest struggle we have with continuing on as Christians is the fact that we lose our ability to be patient on the things that God is doing in our life. If we know that God is all-knowing and that he is all-powerful, that he understands our life, that he... And Pastor John said that he kind of sits outside of time. He knows what's going on, that we need to be able to patiently wait on him to know that we can and that he will do whatever it is in our life that we need done. But we need to trust that he's there. The biggest obstacle that we have is our flesh. Because our flesh, like I always say, our flesh wants what our flesh wants. And when we don't get it in time, and we don't get it this, you know, right now, it's very difficult to wait on God. So we end up walking away and saying, this is it. But what we walk away from is that hope of the eternal life that's been promised to us.
Okay.
Amen?
Unfortunately, we live in a microwave society that wants everything yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a mentality of we deserve.
I mean, I'm only 36, right? Yeah. You know, it's taken a long time for me to get where I am, and I'm still growing. I'm still growing. So, you know, it's a place where we have to be willing to realize that our understanding, sometimes the things that we are waiting on from God is the things that he's showing you. There's an old joke kind of thing, and I don't know if I can relay this, but there was a guy that fell off a boat, and he was in the water floundering around. He's praying, God, save me, I'll do whatever you want. And like little boats come by, and he said, no, I'm not good. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's almost ready to die, and he's saying, God, why haven't you saved me yet? And he said, well, I've sent three boats, and you let them pass on by. You know, I think that, you know, sometimes we're not looking in the right place for the things that God's trying to teach us. We would just want what he wants, what we want, rather. And until we start looking at the things that God's trying to do in our life, then we're going to miss the boat. And, you know, and eventually it's going to lead us away from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. Give him a hand. Who would you like to close, John?
Bob.
I'd be happy to.
Pastor Don.
Pastor Don.
He never gets picked, right?
Amen. Give it to the one who's mature. I like that. You know. Close out the day. Father, we give you thanks for the word today. And Lord, as we contemplate all these different points that presented here today, Lord, may we meditate upon them and we think about them. And Lord, may we desire to have them manifest more deeply in each one of our lives. Lord, bring us to that place where Christ Jesus is formed in each one of our lives, that place of maturity. Now we give you thanks and praise for the teaching today. And Lord, as we go forth into the service, bless the time. And Lord, enrich us through it. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.